Podcasting from behind her locked bathroom door, the only quiet place in the house, this is the Homeschool Sanity Show, a twice-monthly podcast with expert advice for happier, healthier homeschool living. And now, here's your host, Christian psychologist and homeschool mom of six, Dr. Melanie Wilson.
Thanks for joining me today. We are going to be discussing a very important topic for parents of all types of children, no matter how their children are being educated. But today we're specifically going to talk about online safety for homeschoolers. My guest today is Leah Neiman of KerClick.com and also LeahNeiman.com. She is a popular speaker, and she encourages parents to walk with their kids through the world of social media and technology so that we can raise a generation of digitally responsible young adults. And I am really excited about talking with her. It is a part of our lives, but it tends to be something that I know many of us want to kind of hide our heads in the sand when it comes to the safety issues of being online. Well, Leah, thank you so much for joining us today, and I am hoping that you will tell my listeners a little bit more about you and your family.
Yeah, sure. I am a homeschool mom of two graduate students, so I don't actually know that I call myself a homeschool mom anymore, but my children have both graduated now. And like I said, I had two students, and I'm married to my husband, and we live in central Illinois. And we began homeschooling when my daughter actually was in first grade, so she was a pre-K in kindergarten, and we actually began because my husband was working second shift. So when my daughter was doing those half days of school, that worked very well. But when she began going all day, it quickly didn't work for our second shift lifestyle. So at that time, we started searching for what would be the answer to making our family life and the kids' school life mesh. And the only thing I could think of was homeschooling, because I knew some families that were homeschooling, and so I kind of tossed out this, well, we could homeschool, thinking that my husband would say, oh, no, you don't have to do that, honey. And he quickly took me up on the idea, and then I cried for 3 days. because it was kind of like when you ask someone, how are you doing, and you don't, and you're kind of being genuine, but you're kind of not. It's just kind of conversation. But he loved the idea, and so I kind of wasn't expecting that reaction from him. And then it wasn't that I really didn't want to homeschool, it was that I was overwhelmed at what I thought it was going to mean for me. And so then I kind of wrapped my mind around it, and it ended up being the best, absolute best decision we ever made for our family. So once I began it, it was this great decision for our family. So that's kind of our story into homeschooling and how we began our journey.
Well, I cannot relate to having a husband who works second shift, but I absolutely can relate to suggesting the idea of homeschooling to my husband and kind of hoping that he would say, no, that's not going to work. And just like you, my husband said, that's a great idea. And I was very disappointed, but then I ended up being just so thankful to God that I went that direction. So it's just been a blessing. Well, you are the co-founder of KerClick.com. For those listeners who are not familiar with it, can you explain what it is and kind of how you got involved in online learning?
Yes, yes. Well, Staley Krause and I, we kind of began this journey together, and KerClick.com, it's a website, and everything that we offer is downloadable. So there's not anything that you purchase at KerClick that you're going to get a physical product for. Everything's downloadable. And kind of the story behind that is, so when we talk about my journey into homeschooling, you know, when you start homeschooling, you learn all these terms that I like to say, you know, aren't terms that if you're not homeschooling that you would know. Like when I say terms like unit study and lap book, my friends at homeschool, they don't know what those terms are. So when I began homeschooling, I found out that I was an eclectic homeschooler, which I like to tell people means homeschool moms that have lots and lots of curriculum. So I was an eclectic homeschooler. We did a lot of unit studies and things like that, and my kids were two very different learners, so I had lots of curriculum. And when I met Staley, she had a background in publishing, and she had this idea of a website that would offer downloadable curriculum, so ebooks. Ebooks were just beginning to come on the market. And she knew we were really good friends, and she knew that I was a curriculum junkie. And so she asked me about this idea of launching this website. And so I was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to. I love curriculum. This is my dream job here. So that kind of is how we began with a store. And so we just went to we started approaching homeschool publishers, because at that time, it was around the time, shortly thereafter, where there was the whole file sharing shakeup in the music industry. And so file sharing for ebooks was a concern with a lot of publishers. And so we were able to offer file protection for publishers. And so we kind of started this journey into ebooks. And then a couple years later, we began offering online classes for students as well. And that whole aspect of the industry has really grown, and it's been exciting to see that take off, and it just grew from there.
Well, it really is exciting. I mean, just the options that are available. You know, it was overwhelming when I began homeschooling. I think it's been like 14 years ago almost, and there were a lot of options then. And today, it's really fantastic that we have so many choices and that we can learn from so many talented teachers by doing online courses or just purchasing the curriculum online and having instant access to it. But I'm kind of jumping the gun, because I am interested in knowing from you, what do you think are some of the advantages of online learning and just having the internet as a resource as homeschoolers?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you touched on. One of the biggest things, I think, is one of the biggest advantages is the idea that we have what we need instantly. And I know just from my two kids, you know, having two different learners, a lot of times you're exploring a subject and you have one child that wants to veer off and go one direction, or something happens maybe in the media, and you have a child that all of a sudden wants to learn about a certain subject or a certain topic, and you're able to really dive into that and get the information that you need instantly, instead of saying, you know what, let's learn about that, but in 2 weeks those books will arrive. So you're really able to begin to research that and let that child explore that topic instantly, because you have those resources at your fingertips, whether it's, you know, you can find a class or you can find you know, downloadable ebooks or just the resources that you need right at your fingertips. So I think that's one of the really exciting things about online learning. But also, you know, they're able to make those connections, whether it's other homeschool families, teachers, other actual people. I know for when we first began homeschooling, it was hard for me to make those connections at first. And really, I started making a lot of those connections online. So my kids really began to see how big the homeschool community was when we began really diving in online. It's not just those few friends that are in your community or your co-op or your church, but homeschooling is huge worldwide. And I sometimes, you know, people kind of felt sorry for us, but, you know, people locally, like, oh, you homeschool, like, sorry, there's no one in your class other than you and your brother. And I tell people, like, we are so lucky. We go to the biggest school ever. If you're talking about homeschooling, you know, it's a worldwide community, and we have connections with people in Australia and, you know, Britain and all around the world. I mean, really, if you think about it, we go to the largest school, and that's exciting.
That's a neat way of looking at it. Well, with all the advantages, and I happen to absolutely love them, I love that, you know, when we're going through a traditional curriculum, maybe a book that we are studying and we want to learn more about something, we can just jump online, go right to YouTube and look for a video, go and look for a website, or find even a game, an interactive game that we can play that's related to what we're studying. But unfortunately, there are some risks and disadvantages of being online, aren't there? What are some of those risks when it comes to our younger learners? And then as you go through and kind of explain some of those to us, can you talk about how we can prevent those problems with our youngest kids?
Right. I think definitely with younger kids, you know, putting them on and just letting them search is a risk, especially if you don't have filters up. And young kids can, you know, something is innocent as, you know, studying Greek culture can pull up a search that might, you know, put something in front of their eyes that you might not want them to see. And even things with younger learners, there's stuff for young kids that might be appropriate for an older child that a younger child's just not developmentally ready to know yet. So you definitely need to be careful with your younger learners. And that's where, as a parent, you need to understand, you know, the websites that they might be on, what filters do you have in place. You need to be there. You need to be walking with your kid when they are younger. And you also need to be having conversations with them that are conversations that make them understand that it's okay to talk to mom and dad, meaning that if they do come across something, don't react in such a way that makes them afraid to tell you again. So, for example, if they do see something that is graphic and your reaction's like, oh, no, they're immediately going to learn that they don't want to tell you that if they come across something like that again. So your reaction needs to be very measured and very, very calm so that if something like that happens again, that that they feel safe telling you, oh, mom, this came up again. And they learn to come to you when those sorts of things happen. So we need to teach them, you know, number one, not to go to places and not to click on images or click on things that would take them to places, but also when that does happen, to come to mom and dad so that we can put the appropriate filters in place, try to prevent it from happening. Again, but definitely we do need to have filters up when kids are younger because they will instinctively not understand that typing in something might bring up something that may mm-hmm. take them to a place that they shouldn't go.
Do you have any recommendations for filters that you like or that people that you know are using and are happy with?
Yeah, I think NetNanny is a good one because it does allow you to adjust those filters for different ages. But that's one of the biggest, I think that's one of the biggest complaints that people have is that, okay, I put one on and I can't adjust it for different, especially people that have different ages of kids in their house. They need to adjust that for a younger kid and an older kid, and that gets hard. So NetNanny is a really good one. It also allows for social networks. So if you have kids that are on social networks, it allows for that. So that's a really good one. And it also starts to work with as your kids start to go to websites and you start to allow certain websites and not allow certain websites. You don't have to keep going back in and, you know, again and again and again. Mm-hmm. So that's one that is a really good one. Covenant Eyes is another one. There's two levels, though, and you need to understand the difference between a filter and an accountability program because there is a difference. A filter will filter stuff out. So it's actually saying, okay, you're not allowed to go there because we're filtering that content. And an accountability program, which Covenant Eyes has two different ones. They have a filter and an accountability program. An accountability program will pop up and say, hey, this website has objectionable content based on, you know, different things we're reading and where you don't want to go. Do you want to go there? And you can actually click through and go there. So it will allow you to go there, but it will send a report to the person that you say that you're being accountable to, and it will let them know that you went someplace. So it's not going to prevent you from going there, but it's going to send a report to the person that you're being accountable to. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the
Absolutely.
Difference between the filter and the accountability type program. So I tell parents, understand if you're selecting a filter or an accountability program.
Okay. And what about YouTube? I know my younger kids are absolutely fascinated by YouTube, and
yeah.
I understand that. It's one of their favorite websites to go, and it can be really a hairy kind of a situation because you never know what kind of videos are going to come up. And then
yeah.
one of my big complaints is that some of the comments are worse than the videos
yeah.
themselves, right?
Yeah, I know.
yeah.
I know. With I
yeah.
think with especially with really young kids, but even for teens, because some of the videos they're watching are
mm-hmm.
for older kids, and those are where you're going to get the comments. So especially, like, if you're trying to learn how to do something, like, especially on something for computers and things like that, that's where you'll find the most the most comments that you're going to find objectionable. For YouTube, you know, there's really no safe way to play YouTube. The best thing to do is create playlists, especially for your younger kids. Create a playlist and keep them in that playlist. And just you have to make it a rule. Okay, you're allowed to watch these videos in my playlist. Typically, when you make a playlist and you keep that playlist running, the chances that you're going to have an ad or another video that's going to not match or be so far off of what's in that playlist the chances that that's going to happen is going to decrease. So
mm-hmm.
when you create playlists, especially for your younger kids, that's the safest way to go. But you're still going to want to let your kid know, you know, you need to stick within this playlist, and please let me know if you see something or be there for a very young kid. Create playlist is really the best option that they have.
That's a great suggestion. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important, and you've really hinted at this already, but I think it's just so important to be constantly educating our kids about, you know, what the risks are. You know, because if we just say, just don't ever click on any pictures like this, and we don't explain to them, you know, what will happen and, you know, what these people are trying to do, then there's just going to be that curiosity there, right? You're like, well, you know, I wonder what really happens when I click on this.
There is, and I got to tell you, I used an example from my own social media. I had something come up on my own Facebook page one time, and I have no idea why something like that would even come mm-hmm. up. I used it as an example for my kids. But granted, my kids were older. They were 15. My youngest was 15 when this happened. But we were all in my office, and it happened, and it was so shocking. I think I, like, verbal, I go, what? Like that, which drew the attention of my kids. And I stopped for a moment, and I said, you know what? I want you guys to know this is probably going to happen. This is probably
mm-hmm.
going to happen to you guys. And I want you to know, if I click on this, I'm going to get more ads that come up, because it was an ad was what it was. And I said, this is what happened. Ads come up, and very innocently someone clicks on an ad like that, and it takes you to a place that you don't need to go. And that's all I said. And I said, I just want you to know if something like that happens, I want you to come tell me, but you need to learn that stuff like this happens, and don't click on those ads, okay? It's a teachable moment.
What about teens? I mean, you've already been talking about, you know, just the specific needs and responsibilities of teens when it comes to being online, that they should be allowed more latitude because they are more mature, but you still want to be guiding them, right, in terms of this really challenging world that we live in. I know that,
yeah.
you know, teens, many of them are going to be involved in social media. And so what are some of the risks that teens really face when they're spending time online?
When they first get online, it's so risky to want to be online all the time. So they're needing to learn how to balance, really. They're balancing either a lot of them have an increased school load, even though they're homeschoolers. For a lot of them, especially if they're looking at, you know, going to college, a lot of them have a balance of activities that they're doing between their schoolwork and activities they're doing outside of their normal course load, and this whole social media thing, that balance, struggle with that balance at various points in our lives. And as a parent, I think sometimes our initial reaction is just to, okay, you can't balance that, and we grab it away. But if we think about that, what happens when they turn 18 and they're out of our home? So we have to walk with them through this process. Another thing is, they're learning how to have these interactions online. And it's interactions without facial expression and body language, so to speak. But our kids have grown up in that world. They've grown up with that language. If you talk to young adults and teens, they'll tell you, like, oh, the text came in so fast, and there's, like, a smiley face, and it's almost a language that they understand. So it's interesting when you talk to the teens. But I think balance is a big thing. I think having conversations with them about, okay, let's allow ourselves a little bit of time between these interactions that you're having. And also, you know, I think there's a little bit of a generation gap, the way they view friends and the way our generation views friends. Because my kids say my friends, and they mean all my friends. And I think sometimes our generation, we still segregate my online friends and my friends in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very interesting conversation to have.
And then how about, you know, how teens are presenting themselves to the world? You know, when you and I were teenagers, we would have a private or relatively private, depending on our household, but a relatively private conversation with our friends on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And today, kids are having conversations with their friends on Twitter, via text message, which could be private, but then could absolutely be copied and sent out to many, many people.
Mm-hmm. Which is scary.
And it's just a lot different, isn't it? And how
it
do
is.
We guide our teens when, you know, so much private information can be made public unwittingly, when we're really not very experienced with that either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a couple things that we talk to them about. I think, okay, starting from a young age, when you talk about what do we talk to our kids about when we're younger, we're developing at that age all the way through character. And that's what I talk to my kids about. You don't have this is who I am in real life and this is who I am online. It's who you are. Who are you? But then there's the issue of when you're online, you are not having a private conversation with one person. It's it's like standing on the stage of a big auditorium, and you're not just privately saying something to your friend, even though you may be directing that to your friend on, you know, Facebook by tagging them into it. You are saying it to everyone. So your acquaintance, your grandma, your person that, you know, you think is your friend that might not be your friend. So whatever you say, you better be okay saying it to all those people. So we're developing character, and we're teaching our kids that what you say online, it's not like having a private conversation. So not every thought that goes through your head needs to be posted.
That's very true.
And I also tell my kids, be okay with the fact that what you post when you're 15 may not really be your same thought about a subject when you're 25. And my kids are already figuring that out in their 20s. And it's really funny. They went back and they're like, man, that's kind of embarrassing that I said that in seventh grade. And I said, you know what? I want you to carry that in your heart and in your mind when you go to college, because when you're in college, wow, you have like all these ideas and thoughts on how the world needs to change. And I said, just really keep that in mind.
That's great advice. And I would add one more thing that my oldest son, who is turning 18 this month, shared with me yesterday. And I thought, wow, you know, that's really profound. I'm not sure if he read this somewhere or was just thinking about it, but he said that when people post something online, whether that's via text message or just any kind of communication that isn't face-to-face like that, aside from being on the phone, He said that people will feel like they can say, I hate you, and they can say really, really cruel things, and it feels good to them because they are not getting any immediate feedback from the person. The person isn't crying. The person isn't angry. The person doesn't look embarrassed or ashamed or humiliated. And so there's no negative feedback. And so I would add to that, you know, ask yourself if you would say this very same thing to someone who was sitting with you face to face. And if you wouldn't, then don't say it.
That's a really good point, because I think a lot of times, you can see that online. You can see people's responses and their reactions a lot of times. You say that. Would they say that? Would their response be the same, or would their post be the same if they were standing directly across from that person? And a lot of times the answer is no.
We have a wide range of parents listening to us. We have some parents who have not had any problems with their children being online yet, and we have those who have had some problems already. What are some basic principles that you can tell parents who, you know, so far so good with online learning, maybe their kids are younger and so they haven't had any issues, what are some basic principles that we should put in place now to prepare for the future?
I think when your kids are younger, really focus on character, focus on talking to them about just, you know, being a good digital citizen. And, you know, really work on just being open, openly communicate. I have a digital media agreement on my blog at leonina.com, and I tell people, you don't feel like you have to do this formal agreement that everyone signed, but I really do encourage you to download it and at least talk about those points. Talk about things like, as a family, what are we comfortable and what are we not comfortable with sharing online? Because you want your home to be a safe place. You don't want any one member of your family to worry about, if I say something, is my sibling going to post this online, or is mom going to, even with parents. I've heard stories from parents that said, yeah, my kids get to a certain age, and they were upset with me because I shared something online and I didn't realize that it would embarrass them. And we had to go back and say, I'm really sorry. I didn't know that would embarrass you, or vice versa. So talk about those issues as a family. You want your home to be a safe place. And then, you know, reevaluate those every, you know, I say about every 18 months because different platforms come out, your kids get older, and things need to be reevaluated. But if you have this atmosphere of, we talk about these things openly in our home, I think it makes things a lot easier.
That's very good. And it's also really important to, as much as possible, just make sure that your kids don't have, I would call it like unsupervised access to the internet, whether that means that they don't have a computer in their room where they can be on it and you don't see it, or it just means that, you know, they're not allowed to use the computer when there's no one else around. That's one of the main things that I do. I have 6 children in the home, and people are always in those main family areas. So if someone's on the computer and is doing or watching something inappropriate, I am guaranteed that they're going to get ratted out. And I like that.
Yeah. So. Yes, and I think another thing, too, is know those platforms. I'm always amazed that when I talk to younger kids and then find out, like, their parents don't know anything about platform or an area where they're going, and the parents have no idea that they're even there, that they've set up an account, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking kids as young as, like, 10, 8, 12. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you have to be an active participant. You can't just sit by and, oh, yeah, their friend told me they're on this site, so I think they're on it too. You have to be an active participant.
You know, you're kind of mentioning something that has been helpful to me, and that is, you know, having other parents who are helping to watch out for my kids online. I have a neighbor who supervises what is being texted back and forth by our younger kids. I wasn't even aware, honestly, that my kids were texting back and forth via their iPods, and I was very thankful that she alerted me to that and told me that she regularly checks what they're sending to each other, and that can just be really, really helpful, that we are not to judge one another's children, but just to support the parents in making sure that everyone's kids are safe.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think, yeah, you can't be all places at all times. And I mean, certainly, I think sometimes we live in this age where we do think, you know, oh, I can't say anything, or, you know, there's nothing wrong with coming along beside another kid and encouraging them. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I see you're on this platform, or I see you're on this. And I see kids all the time. And I think because we want to make sure that, especially if they are on some of these social media platforms, are their accounts private, or do they have them set up properly, or are they safe while they're there? So I definitely think that that's part of keeping our kids safe, is just to be aware, yes.
And I like what you said earlier, you know, even if we have some parents listening who have had some problems with their kids engaging in unsafe behaviors online, no matter what their age, that the goal ultimately is to equip our kids to be mature, independent, digitally savvy adults. So you may have to really take more control at the beginning when there are some, you know, inappropriate behaviors going on. You know, maybe taking away a social media account, for example, for a time when you have a teen who's not using it appropriately. But then the goal ultimately being, because you so wisely said, when our kids turn 18, many of them are going to be out of the home and will have to make those decisions themselves. So it's a process of helping them become responsible and earn more of those privileges back as they make better choices. It can be done. Many parents have been able to do that and, you know, just kind of come alongside of their kids like a coach and help them be responsible.
And you want to teach your kid, your child, all of that. When they're using the social media platforms, you want to teach them how do you block someone if someone's, you know, harassing them? How do you handle all those situations? And I think a lot of times, you know, if your child knows that you're their ally and that you're there to help them, you'll be amazed at how quickly that brings that child around.
All right. Well, it's a process for sure, just like anything else that we teach in our homeschools. And I am excited that I can point people to your website, Leah, leahnieman.com. It's Leah with an H, N-I-E-M-A-N.
Yes.
.com. What kinds of resources can our listeners find there? You already mentioned that there is a digital media agreement, and I will provide a link to that in the show notes at ultimateradioshow.com if you click the Homeschool Sanity Show button and scroll down to online safety for homeschoolers. You will find the link to that. But what other kinds of resources can we find there?
Yeah, I have a parent's guide for Snapchat available. Snapchat has been kind of one of the big hot social media platforms that a lot of parents are really concerned about. So I actually have a guide for parents whose kids are on that platform that are very concerned about how do you set it up if your child's using it. So that guide is already available. I'm working on other guides now. And I also ran a series a couple of weeks ago on 12 of the top social media platforms for teens, ones that some of them parents might not even know about. So that was a really fun series to do. So that is on my blog. You can read that, and it just kind of lets parents know this is why teens kind of like this platform. These are some things that you might want to know about the platform if your kid's using it, that sort of thing. So it's just kind of a quick series, but it gives you kind of an overview of a lot of the platforms that kids are using.
Well, it sounds fantastic. And of course, we have a wealth of resources available to us at kerclick.com. That's Ker with two R's as in curriculum, right? Kerclick.com. And there are all kinds of unit studies and classes and digital downloads that we can find there.
Yes.
All right. Well, Leah, thank you so much for taking time out to share with us about how we can keep our kids safe online and encourage them to become digitally responsible adults. It is really, really important to keep talking about this issue. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for the Homeschool Sanity Show with Dr. Melanie Wilson. Visit Melanie at psychowith6.com. That's the number 6 for more sanity-saving ideas. The Homeschool Sanity Show is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.